Since Barzakh left us, I've been wondering, thinking a lot about life after this life, and I keep remembering how he will not waste his time. One thing about he will not allow anybody to waste his time. He was people. He did not go. Someone invite him. Oh, come and speak here. He goes. So come and speak here. Come and speak here. He goes. Someone told him, oh, can I partner with you and work with you in China? He said, only if you will be planting churches. If not, forget it. And that person emailed me and said, he was telling me that to tell me that that was a bad thing about Brother Zach. I told him that that's a very good thing, actually, because he's a man who understands what God has called him to do, and he refuses to be distracted by anything else. I don't know what he was trying to do. If he wasn't, didn't want to play in churches, what it was, the organized conferences, maybe, I don't know. I remember 9 years ago when he told us, I used to travel around doing, he said, now I'm going to do one thing, I'm going to travel around to build a church spirit. He will not even think. If you try to offer him a suggestion, he won't even let you just finish talking and tell you no. He's not into that kind of stuff anymore. He lived like a man who knew that he had an important war to wage and his time was counted. I'm now thinking that it was he indeed needed to live like that. I remember when he came to the U.S. the last time, before our convention, for our last convention. He told us, when a man is 56 years old, he was 56 at the time, so the person is 56 years old, you need to be careful what he does with his time, isn't it? And, well, I don't know, I think it was 59 something at the time. But he was like, he said, if a man said, you want to be, you know, when what you're doing with your life. He said, here in America, I come from Africa, and then I come here and I come to wait for people from America to arrive. And this person arrives on Friday and leaves on Saturday, and this one arrives on Saturday and leaves on Sunday, and so I said, there's no hunger here. This is a waste of time. And he didn't come back for a convention for a long time after that, till he came to Boston. He wouldn't waste his time. If people weren't serious, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. He said he'd go to the place where people are willing to listen and hear. There's a fierce battle going on, a battle for your soul, a battle for my soul. I don't know how much of it you realize. I'm extremely conscious of it. I know the devil is after me. And he and his demons will rejoice if I fail and failed, they have a party in hell. The same thing is true about you. I hope you know whether or not he is winning that battle or not. And there's a battle over your friends' lives, your friends' souls. A fierce enemy fighting day and night against them. A person cannot be an in and out. You can't do it with Sunday Christianity. Forget it. Those who practice Sunday Christianity. On Sunday, I'm going to talk about the difference between a believer and a disciple. I'll give you one of them. The disciples The believer comes to church on Sunday. The disciple comes to church two more times than that during the week. I get that from the Bible. We have to count the cost and make sure that we really want to do what we want to do. And if we decide that we're not ready to pay the cost, it's better to close down than to stay in it and... The worst, the people who will be the most unhappy in eternity will not be those who said, on earth, I'm going to go ahead and serve the devil 100%. It'll be those who try to have it both ways. Because on earth, since they wanted to have it both ways, they could not really enjoy God. So they never really got God. They got an illusion and some vague thingy. And then they didn't really enjoy sin either, because there were all these lines that they kept on not wanting to cross because they've got to be part of the religion too. But then they cross a bunch of the other ones. And they try to carefully walk both lines. So they weren't happy on earth. And in eternity, then they find that they go to hell. And they're like, my whole existence has been a waste. It cannot be done. The early disciples, let me say, it can not even be done with two-hour Christianity. Either. The early church met for 10 days to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a two-hour meeting. They met for 10 days. These were grown men with wives, children, mother-in-laws. They met for 10 days. Those who stay in a meeting for 2 hours and then they already start complaining, God, meeting is too long, and it's the only meeting they showed up to for the whole week. They're not fit for the war. Maybe when the church gets to 10,000 people, they can come and join at that point. There will be somebody there who may help them grow, but at the beginning, when you're launching the war, there'll be a distraction to the rest of the army. Better for them to stay home and let the... I was reading about whatever your political convictions are, I don't know, but I read some things just for my own knowledge. I was reading about the Operation Iraqi Freedom. You and I know the war when they set the date and the soldiers went there and I don't know through where, and they started going in and fighting. But before they went in there, there are all these special forces of names of people you never hear and never see, who went there ahead of time and fought battles that, fought some unofficial battles deep behind enemy line to clear the place so that other people can come in. One of them actually died. The CIA has the names of some of them, but for some of them, even after they're dead, they don't release their name. They just have a book and they put a black star for them. And so when the headquarters, they have the thingy there that you can the book inside that you can go and take a look at. Yeah, it wasn't a 2-hour thing. They were fighting a serious war, and there were people who put in their lives to ensure that the thing succeeded. It is like that for spiritual revolution as well. If you want revival, I hear people say they want revival, but they go from the revival meeting and then they go home and start playing their Wii and things like that. No, it's not serious. If you really want revival, you barely have time for anything else. You'll be consumed, burdened by it. You won't go from a revival meeting and then you go home and you start shooting your enemies on your video games and killing them to get points. What silliness. You will not be a... come from a revival meeting and then go sit down with her boyfriend or his girlfriend and they're there holding hands in the student center in plain view of everybody and not even ashamed of it. But then after that they go and they say, God, please bring revival. No wonder we haven't had it yet. There has to be a change. I've begun to pray and I'm going to continue to pray that anybody who is just going to be a distraction to us, that God will take them out. I'm not going to say to anybody, you go away, but I'm going to pray. And I'm going to endeavor to, as much as possible, make it as honest, without exaggerating, without making it sound unreal. I'm going to try to make it clear to everyone, what is this really about, and what are we really into in this thing, and what does it all mean, what does it entail, where are we heading to? When we were in Yaoundé, in Cameroon, I don't remember a meeting, a whole church meeting, that lasted less than 4 hours. The meetings in general started around 4 p.m., 4:30 p.m. And then they ran till 10 p.m. and beyond. That's the regular Thursday night prayer meeting. So those men and women will go to work. People like Professor Jumba, for whom probably you will see here in May, we hope. We'll go to work and then lecture at the university, do his professor research. 4 p.m. is there. The meeting starts, and there's praying and singing, and then praying starts till 10 p.m. I rarely, maybe the meeting where people met in houses to break bread, yeah, those maybe lasted, could have lasted 2 hours. But church meetings, rarely remember any that was shorter than 3 or 4 hours. But as Zach says, at the beginning of the church, when they started there, he would preach for 4, 5, 6 hours straight. And there were no singing team at the time. Preach until people were convicted of sin. Charles Finney will not come and hold the revival until people agreed to meet 5 times a week to hear the word of God at least. And you do that for about a month. But when you have people who 2 hours a week is too much for them, they're not fit for the war yet. They've bought into the lie that we as Americans and North Americans have the right to get everything quick, and people must accommodate our schedules, including God. That's a lie. It will not. That's why miracles happen everywhere else in the world, but North America, Europe, you have to pray a lot to get a few. And Brother Zach told us in Canada, the last Canadian convention he was there, you must beat that system. If you do not beat the system, then you cannot expect the glory of God. Everything is catered towards boxing the Holy Spirit into 1-2 hours. See, if you cannot beat the system, you will not have the glory of God either. If we don't pay the price, we will not have the goods delivered either. That's what it is. That's it. So what's our church here in Boston? Our church here in Boston is a group of people who have had enough with empty Christianity. It's a group of people who are tired of Sunday Christianity. It's a group of people who want to see revival, a genuine one. No, I'm not talking about revival where you stand in a line and I come and I push you and you fall over and somebody grabs you on your way down so you don't break yourself. That's not revival I'm talking about. I'm talking about revival where true conversions happen, where people are radically, where the power, the glory of God comes down. People are being set free from sin, delivered. That's what I'm talking about. That's what this thing is. And those who want to do that, and especially those who want to start something like that and be at the beginning of it, they must forget their own agendas. They must know that they have enrolled into an army that demands their all, into a service for Jesus that demands a person's everything. I haven't put my all yet. I am trying to and learning to, and I am getting there at my own level. At your own level, whatever that means, put in your all. Let me make it clear that as we heard from A.W. Tozer, for those who were here, those who were not here, I don't know, and those who were here, I hope they haven't forgotten what they heard, but he made it clear, if the thing that we want, if this anointing from God is not what we want more than anything else, we will not have it. One thing is sure, the winning of the lost, the snatching of people from hell must be your priority. If there is anything else for you that's prior to that, given the crossroads, you choose the other thing, you're not fit yet. Our church is a group of people who want God, the best of God at all costs, and they are prepared to pay that price. It's not a place for those who like to hear sermons once a week to come. It's not a place for those who practice pastoral Christianity. That is, I sit in the congregation and the pastor there is supposed to go find God. That's his job. That's not what our church is. There are plenty of churches like that, that people like that can go to. If a person comes here, they're saying, here I am. I'm here to be used by God as much as I can. I'm here to put in as much time as I can possibly put to ensure that people come to Jesus Christ and are saved. And that we snatch as many people as possible from the claws of Satan in the shortest possible time. That's what this is.